Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Irish Rail say that up to €230 million will be required to fund infrastructure works that will save the line between Dublin and Rosslare from erosion and flooding for the next 50 to 100 years. But is this funding enough to future-proof the line, or is it just an expensive sticking plaster when what we need is major surgery? I'm joined by Barry Kenny, Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail. Barry, good morning to you. Can you break down that €230 million bill for us, please, and tell us how it would be spent?
Philip, this is the East Coast Railway Infrastructure Protection Project. It's basically climate adaptation works. That section of line, I mean, obviously the Dublin-Rosslare line, Southside Dart, people who travel it will know how scenic it is. That brings its challenges. Any railway construction along the coast does that. And for just under half of the full route length, it's either coastal or kind of estuary type environment and is vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. So the projects in particular will focus on the 60-kilometre stretch from Merrion Gates to Wicklow. There's a number of key sites there, Merrion to Dunleary, Dalkey to Killiney, around Bray to Greystones to Newcastle and on to Wicklow, and then an area around Rosslare as well. And the type of interventions that will happen, and the detailed planning, the statutory approvals taking place before the physical works, but it's breakwaters, it's beach nourishment, onshore revetment strengthening, and embankment strengthening, and simply because, you know, we've seen such an increase in the number of incidents, more in the last 20 years than in the previous 100, where we've had either storm or coastal erosion impacts, and to protect that entire alignment, as you say, for many decades to come.
Barry, the IPCC reports suggest that we're looking at 1 metre of sea rise, meaning 100 metres of waters moving inland by the end of this century. Let's break it down, if you can, please, and tell us what it is that would be required, starting in Dublin and moving south on the line. Are you talking about raising the railway line above the level of sea rise in Dublin, or are you talking about building a big seawall?
You're talking about, as I say, a series of works, and that detailed design, because there are a range of options in each area, and that detailed design will happen now. But in a lot of locations, it is about offshore breakwaters, so you're, kind of taking the power of the sea away from hitting the embankments where the railway line is. You're talking about beach nourishment, where you're taking the natural materials that are in those areas and adding them to the beach, again, taking the energy of the sea and having it as well dissipated on the shore as opposed to against the railway line. So the actual raising of the line isn't something that we anticipate, but obviously in detailed design, if it is required in certain areas, that is something could progress. But it is primarily that kind of shoreline, offshore works, also some embankment strengthening where you have issues of water runoff, because of course with higher rainfall levels, that is something that affects the embankments on the railway line as well. And as I say, historically, it's not something that is new to the railway. The area in Brayhead, as railway people would know, has seen the line diverted 3 times in the early part of its existence. But it is just the intensity and the increase in frequency of these issues that require a major program, rather than, I suppose, sticking plaster measures, which we've had remedial works for many, many years to protect against these issues. But there is a need for a long-term plan, which is what this is.
Okay, why not, though, bite the bullet and just say to yourself, look, that stretch of cliff between Bray and Greystones or between Dalkey and Killiney is not going to become more stable over time. It's time to move the whole thing inland.
That is something that was studied as we were developing the options for this. It, needless to say, either new tunnelling through Brayhead or realigning the railway line comes with an enormous bill. The realigning comes into issues of both environmental impact and also the fact there's quite a lot of construction has gone on in terms of residential in the way, because obviously residential development would have progressed without the consideration that a railway line would come through. And tunnelling, and this would have been probably in the kind of 2018 era when we would have estimated it. You are talking about about a €750 million. Euro bill at that time, and we know how construction costs.
But you're talking about a quarter of a billion now. Mm-hmm. And you are also talking, aren't you, about if you were to move inland, you would be able to move to two parallel tracks as opposed to the single track that you have on large stretches of the Dublin-Rosslare line.
True, but that is a bill, in terms of when we're talking about that tunnelling, that is a bill solely for that section, not for any protection of the line elsewhere along the alignments and elsewhere where these issues occur. Now, right now, the Department of Transport with the Department of Environment in the North are undertaking the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review, and that is looking at issues like that, about where, as well, the type of interventions that are needed to boost the capacity for the longer term for our rail network, because outside of Dublin Cork, outside of the Dart and commuter network and some areas in Cork, we're largely a single track railway around the country. And obviously that does limit frequency. There are other ways of doing it. There are, in terms of increasing use of passing loops, in terms of signalling, and our Dart Plus work, which is about the frequency improvement, which you're talking about, is looking at how we can increase that. We have a service every half hour each way between Bray and Greystones at the moment, primarily because the single track is there. Are there sections where we can have loops to increase the frequency as opposed to a full double tracking? But the strategic review that the department are leading, which is being published later this year, is examining those issues where we're into, as we're kind of mega projects with enormous bills that would require the type of long-term planning that we're talking about, and to see, you know, where can we do this and where it's, as was going to get the best return for us as well.
Yeah, and how much more could you maximise the potential of the Dublin-Rosslare line if there was double tracking? I mean, what I'm asking you, I suppose, is how much of a limiting factor are these stretches of single track?
Well, ultimately, I suppose double tracking and the signalling will dictate the type of frequency that you have. It is about assessing the demand where it is, and certainly, you know, we believe there is a latent demand from particularly the commuter belt, you know, Greystones further south, for an increased frequency. I mean, the ideal situation, as you say, is like if you got to a situation where you could increase to every 20 minutes or every 15 minutes in each direction between Bray and Greystones. That's a significant improvement.
And further south into the future as well, because I'm thinking, you know, when you talk about the commuter belt, talking about it as being Bray and Greystones is really inaccurate, because it's now Gorey and Arklow.
It is, and I suppose I'm probably talking in terms of the rail infrastructure intervention as opposed to that, you know, that is obviously a key bottleneck and one that requires a lot of work and a lot of planning to address, but certainly further south as well. You know, we would love to be in a position to have a more frequent service on that line, and the Dart Plus coastal works, and we'd anticipate we'd be going to, as well, public consultation later this year with the first phase of that, where we'll start to, I suppose, present the options that are there and get the feedback from the community in terms of how we do it.
Is there any kind of a back of an envelope price tag associated with a double line all the way to Rosslare?
No, and I don't, to be fair, I don't think that is required. You know what I mean? We do have quite a lot of passing loops along the
can
route.
You, sorry, can you explain what a passing loop is and how long it requires trains to sit in a siding waiting for the other train to pass?
Again, that is down to scheduling and timetabling, but people who travel on our network will know that we have, you know, particularly at stations and at other points, we have sections where a railway line is predominantly single track, there is a section of double track that allows trains travelling in other directions to pass each other. So it's down to scheduling how long that takes. We obviously work to ensure that that's minimised as much as possible. You know, you want a situation where you're talking in low single-digit minutes as opposed to longer in terms of that, so as you're not impacting on journey time. So full double tracking is something that's probably, I think, more needed in the immediate term when you're looking at sections like Port Harling to Athlone, Maynooth to Mullingar, in terms of the demand that we have there as is. But certainly it is an area, you know.
Yes, but in a post-Brexit world, Barry, where, you know, we're looking at presumably much more increased freight traffic, Rosslare to Dublin, does that not make the case for it?
Well, I suppose Rosslare is a Ro-Ro port, so there isn't actually rail freight there. Where we're expanding the rail freight at the moment is to Waterford Port, which is a rail-connected port, and obviously a need to increase on Dublin. I think it is passenger services. It is about enhancing the passenger connections, you know, even getting... we have five trains a day each way to Wexford and Rosslare, and we want to increase that. And it is about, I suppose, the Dart Plus works. even, you know, in the shorter term, as we get new fleet into play, that, you know, is there an option for additional services that operate as far as Greystones and that you transfer to the Dart as well? So there are those options as well to get increased frequency on the network. There's a lot of demands. We have a lot of ambitions around the network, and it is a case, I suppose, kind of going where you get the most return in the shorter term, where we put the priority for double tracking.
Barry Kenny, Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, Brian O'Connell reports on whether mobile phones should be banned at gigs.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.